And I hope you enjoy this video going into our talk.
I win!
I'm never gonna win. You're great.
Thanks, champ.
Yeah, next time you give me a 3-sip start, you understand?
Yeah. Well, there you are. Hiya, Bobby.
Hi.
You must be Fonzie. Hi, I'm Bobby's father.
Right.
Come on, Bobby, it's time to go.
Where?
But don't you remember? Mom and I made plans to take you to the park today.
I don't wanna.
Oh, come on, it'll be fun. I tell you what we do. We'll get some cotton candy.
Nah.
Bobby, I'm your father.
Champ's more like my father.
Bobby, we're a family now.
I don't need a family. Right, Champ? We don't need a family.
Come on.
No, I don't wanna. I wanna stay with Champ. No!
Hey, hold it. Where do you think you're taking a kid?
Fonz.
Hey, you what out?
You heard the kid. The kid wants to stay right here with me.
I can't believe you're going
this
through
this. This is none of your business. The kid is staying right here.
Nobody's taking my son away from me.
Oh, yeah? Why don't you get some more ice cream?
Well, I guess I'm through running away.
Yeah? You're going to stand up, you're going to fight me, right, punk? Huh?
If that's what it takes to keep my son, yes.
Why don't you take off for 3 years?
Don't do that.
Huh? Why not? Why not?
Don't do that!
Why not?
Don't!
All right, don't hit me. Just, there's no need for violence here. You call my bluff, you're cool. Just back off. All right. You're cool. Hey. It was a nice day out, right? So you go with your father, you get some cotton candy, go to the park. I'll catch you later, right?
No, you won't. I never want to see you again. You know, Champ, you're a scaredy cat. Come on, let's go to the park, Dad.
Let's go to the park.
Sorry, I butted in there. I guess I didn't know what you were doing.
You think he's gonna remember me?
He's gonna remember. Champ. Hey, wanna check out that new bowling alley just opened up?
The Fonz does not bowl.
Girl pin boys.
The Fonz bowl.
Let's go bowling.
Bowling?
Yeah, girl pin boys.
Bowling!
Oh, the things that I do for my church. Okay, you all know that I'm not above making a monkey out of myself. But anyway, we're talking about Halloween today and masks and... Okay, what I just did reminded me of a story that I will share with you real quick. When my daughter Lisa was in high school, in grammar school in eighth grade, and it was at St. Emily's, a Catholic church, and we went for a conference that was held in the church for parents, and the associate pastor wore a mask for the whole early part of his presentation because it was just before Halloween. And then he did what I just did. He took the mask off, and when he did that, I went, oh! And my daughter punched me in the ribs really hard. But we're going to have some fun, right? I mean, our topic today is metaphysics and Halloween, or Halloween and metaphysics, and how they relate to one another. Because this coming Saturday is Halloween, and as always, I am so looking forward to it. A few years ago, they took a poll among school children, and they were asked what their favorite holiday was, and Halloween won hands down, with Christmas a far distant second. And why not? Halloween's, it's a full participation holiday. I mean, Christmas is great too, because, well, if you're fortunate enough to get presents, but Halloween, you get to dress up, you get to wear a costume, you get to go trick-or-treating, and you get candy, tons of candy. Talk about abundance. Boy, nothing was better than the haul that you made at Halloween. And I remember my brother and I came back from trick-or-treating, and we dumped all the candy on the dining room table, and there was a sea of candy that literally covered the table. And I remember as a young boy, even when I reached the age when it was too cool for me to dress up, there still was this electricity in the air on Halloween. And it almost made me wish I wasn't so darn cool so I could still dress up. Halloween is wonderful for adults too. I mean, we get to steal the kids' candy when they go to sleep. And in normal times, we get to go to haunted houses and costume parties. You get to become a little child again. You get to be not so darn proper and have a little fun. And after being too cool to dress up when you are a teenager, as an adult, it becomes okay to dress up again. I had friends, a couple, and one year the wife dressed up as a football player and her husband dressed up as a cheerleader, and he even shaved his legs to get into it. In my own life and as an adult, I've been a pirate, a mummy, an ancient Greek, a cowboy, and a hobo. You can go outside dressed as anything that you want to be. Well, except for maybe Lady Godiva. I mean, renting a horse can get pretty expensive after all. The history of Halloween is just fascinating. It goes back a couple of thousand years. It began as a Celtic pagan holiday called Samhain that centered on the belief that on that day, those who had died could return as ghosts. The church, recognizing a high potential moneymaker when it sees it, adopted the holiday and converted it to a Christian holiday during the 8th century. It was known as All Hallows Eve, intending to remember and honor those who have gone before us. And some scholars believe that the festiveness that traditionally is associated with Halloween was a way for Christians to thumb their nose at death that was forever defeated by virtue of the resurrection. Different cultures and peoples throughout the world assimilated the holiday, adapting it, you know, according to their own beliefs and consciousness. And that's our opening metaphysics lesson today. Whatever comes to us, we first greet it by looking at it through our own lens. And as an added bonus, this year Halloween offers a couple of extra treats. There will be a full moon on Halloween. And as I understand it, it will be the first time in 19 years that there will be a full moon on Halloween. And it also will be a blue moon, because it will be the second full moon of the month. So, if you believe in Wolfman, you may not want to venture out on Halloween without your silver cane. When we show up in different ways, we truly are manifesting something. Some truth that resides in us internally, or at least something that we regard as the truth. It may be a reflection of expectations that others have placed on us, imposed on us over the years. It might be a lifelong dream that we have kept under an inner lock and key. It may be something as simple as a recent idea that has come to us. Maybe we have different aspirations to be a cowboy or a comedian or a politician or whatever. This is true not only at Halloween, but rather all the time. Without thinking about it, we always adhere to those inner notions as to how we are going to show up. And it can change depending upon the audience that we anticipate. That's why we shave our beards, shave our legs, shave our heads, comb our hair, put on makeup, and take care to pick out what are we going to wear today. But on Halloween, all the rules, both the ones imposed upon us and the ones that we have internalized on our own, they all get relaxed. And I just think it's just a really healthy thing. But if we look at Halloween from a metaphysical view, what we are talking about goes a lot deeper, goes to a much more significant level. Even something as simple as carving a pumpkin can take on a powerful meaning. I mean, you start off by opening the top, cutting off the rim around the stem, which can symbolize opening up our minds for a change. And then you have to scoop out and scrape away all of the yucky stuff that's inside. And when you get that done with that, you creatively can create that pumpkin in whatever image and likeness that you want. You can give it a scary face. You could give it a happy face, a smiley face. The eyes can be squares, or they could be circles, or they could be triangles, half moons, or whatever you want. Traditionally, especially going back a bit, a candle would then be put inside what is now a jack-o'-lantern. Jack is a nickname for John, the disciple that represents love. Symbolically, that candle can represent the light of love that always burns from within and overcomes all darkness. Now, I'm pretty sure that any time you may have carved a jack-o'-lantern, it is highly unlikely that you had thoughts like those that I was just sharing. I mean, after all, you're just carving a pumpkin, right? But the part that holds true is that when you are carving a pumpkin, you are bringing forth your own powers of imagination and creativity. And therefore, you are allowing your inner light to shine. And so, whether you're carving a pumpkin, doing the dishes, taking out the garbage, or whatever, do it with a sense of awareness. And it can become a really powerful, prayerful, meditative event. Earlier, I made a reference that the festiveness of Halloween has been regarded by some scholars as a way for Christians to thumb their noses at death. And this is worth some thought. Think about so many things that if they were really, really, really real, they would absolutely horrify us. Ghosts are portrayed at Halloween as being really spooky. Witches are bad and hideous. Ghouls and goblins are downright frightening, and vampires, well, they take a lot out of you. And then there is death, always looming. We all have had thoughts or hold thoughts that have been or are really horrifying. The monsters under our beds or in our closets that terrified us as children have given away to even more terrifying thoughts within our own heads. And those things that frighten us or worry us Are they any more or less real than the monsters that we feared as children? Well, that's a question only you can answer. I know bad things crop up in our lives, very often unexpectedly. Medical issues, viruses, broken relationships, addictions. Lord knows there are lots of scary things that sure seem to be real, but do we have to let them determine our destiny? Have these monsters already overcome us and causing us to live in fear? Or, in spite of these monsters, can we still determine our own reality? Remember the words of the song that was sung after we blessed the children today. God is bigger than the boogeyman. I think that Halloween does open the door for us to engage in prayerful denials. We can turn to those ghosts in our past, thumb our noses at them, and decide to change the sheets. We can look at the skeletons in our closets and say, you know what, I got a bone to pick with you. And we can look at the vampires in our lives, those things, those persons that have been driving us batty and draining us, and say, you know what, just because you suck, my life doesn't have to. Ghosts and skeletons and vampires, these are all metaphors for those thoughts in our own lives. But mostly what goes on in between our ears that causes us to live in fear. And very often, they no longer are real if they ever were to begin with. Halloween opens the door for us to just let the creepy things in our life go. The scariest threat to us are the zombies, the undead, anything that might hold us back, keep us down from living this incredible gift of life to the fullest. On the surface, Halloween may seem to go against the spiritual concept of unmasking ourselves. It's the idea of dropping our personas and showing up as our real Christ selves. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, tells us to clothe ourselves, to put on the Christ. And this is a very common theme in Unity, and very much in line with a lot of psychological jargon. Be who you are. Be yourself. To your own self be true. Well, all of that is true enough. Halloween certainly promotes putting on a mask. But putting on a mask doesn't necessarily mean hiding who we are. It could just as easily reveal who we are. First of all, we are all human. It is true that we are all spiritual beings, but the currency that we use to grow our spirituality is our humanity. And that is why we can do things like smile and laugh and dance and cry. Halloween gives us a chance to explore what masks are the most fitting for us to manifest the Christ within, and to have some fun doing it. We get to play with what expressions, what words, what masks represent the sacred truth of our being, and which ones are just pretending. I reviewed a lot of videos in preparation for the message today. I really struggled to let go of the Peanuts clip of the Great Pumpkin, because for me, it has become kind of a tradition on Halloween. But instead, I decided to show the video from Happy Days because it truly drives home what we're talking about this morning. Happy Days was a very highly successful comedy show that was watched for 10 years from the mid-70s to the mid-80s. And the star of the video that we showed and watched this morning was the character of the Fonz, Arthur Fonzarelli, so brilliantly played by Henry Winkler. If you had to describe the character of the Fonz in the series in a single word, that word would be cool. the Fonz was the epitome of cool. He was, in fact, the coolest of the cool. Everyone respected him. And nobody ever messed with him because he was, well, cool. Cool was the mask he wore. And he wore it more faithfully than the Lone Ranger wore his. In the video, the little boy obviously was just so taken with the Fonz as his hero. In fact, he worships the Fonz so much that he wants to stay with him and refuses to go with his father. And the Fonz starts off with his usual persona, a tough guy. Too tough to mess with. And he manipulates the situation to set up a confrontation with the boy's father. He ends up backing down for the benefit of the young boy. He sets aside his super cool mask and puts on the mask of a coward, or as he was referred to by the young boy, a scaredy cat. But in doing so, he manifests just how caring, how loving he is, how sensitive he is, and how incredibly cool he really is inside by allowing himself to be warm and compassionate on the outside. Our way shower Jesus wore different masks. He was a carpenter. He was a teacher. And he was a preacher. He wore masks of joy, happiness, wisdom, fatigue, and even sorrow. Very often he was confrontational, critical, and occasionally really angry. These are all things that are very human, and yet all these very different, in all of these different dimensions, he was the Christ. In wearing all of these different masks, he was acting as the Christ, and he was, through it all, loving. And most significantly, always, 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 he remained mindful of his very personal relationship, his shared oneness with the Father. Different life experiences may call on us to show up differently. Unfortunately, there are times when things happen and we are uncertain as to what mask to wear for that situation. The good news is that there are times when things happen and we are uncertain as to what mask to wear for the situation. And no, I'm not giving you double talk, and you heard me correctly. Those ghosts or goblins or scary things that show up in our lives may bring us uneasiness. They may bring us fear. But each and every one of them also brings us opportunity. Not knowing is both stressful, and it's good news because we get to figure it out. We even get to make mistakes while we're trying to figure out. And I'll show you just something so basic, when that child just boldly dares to get on his or her 2 feet and take that first step, and invariably there are multiple falls. And with each failure, the opportunity just grows. If we could just stay focused on whatever is the most loving way to show up, stay focused on our own spiritual DNA. The failures don't matter. Nothing else matters. This Halloween, thumb your nose at those spells you are under by being a good witch yourself. Thumb your nose at the skeletons of lack by affirming that you are somebody. Inform the ghosts of your past that you are beautiful beyond belief, All right, I had to apologize for all the puns. But the point is, have fun. Respond to your dreams. Show up to that inner call of what you really want to be, whether it's a ballerina, a princess, a fighter pilot, a monkey, a minister, a mortician. It doesn't matter. Let loose the child within you, because always, always, always the one mask that you should be wearing is that of a child, a beloved child of God, a beloved child of the Father. And so I invite you now, we're going to take this to meditation and prayer.